Good morning. As a reminder, seeing it's the first Sunday of the month, all money is not designated to go to the oblation fund. Would you please bow with me? Dear Lord, we ask you to watch over us this morning. We ask you to watch over as those who give, and we ask you to watch over the money as it's distributed through the church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Dan said there's one more announcement this morning, that the women's will be meeting at Betty Stewart's home Tuesday night. Is there a time?
If there is, I don't know what it is.
Okay. Just show up anytime. I would welcome you this morning in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have already richly been blessed. I visited with Peggy this morning about the song that was just sang, and she said it is well with my soul. And that touched me right there. And yesterday, we were blessed with the opportunity to witness a couple of baptisms at Zarahemla Branch. And so this morning, we have a couple of new members in our congregation, Melissa and Samantha. And so, as is customary, we will serve them first this morning. And it was quite a joy to be there yesterday and watch the joy and the smile on these two young ladies' faces. And they sang a song, and it was really special. And the spirit that was there was just outstanding. And so we're thrilled to be able to welcome Melissa and Samantha into our congregation, and it is our responsibility to nurture and guide them as they try to do the best they can to serve our Heavenly Father. I was going to read a scripture, and it's from Psalms, the 19th chapter, starting with the 7th verse. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteousness altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. For our opening hymn, would you turn to hymn number 5, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Stand, please.
Song shall rise. most gracious Heavenly Father, holy indeed is thy name. We come before you at this time thanking you for this opportunity to draw apart from the world and take this opportunity to remember that covenant that we've made with you. We thank you for our two new sisters who will be participating with us for the first time today. And I would ask that you would be with those men up front, that nothing in our lives would stand in the way of any blessing that you might have for these your people. I would ask that you'd be with our speakers, that those things that you've placed on their hearts would go to the hearts of those people who have prepared their hearts and might even touch those who might not have taken so much time for preparation, that your blessing might be had by all. I would ask that your spirit would abide with us this day. These things I would ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm going to take a few moments to discuss the importance of the emblems that are set before us and the significance of what we all partake of, the Lord's Supper. I wanted to start out by talking about three words that, when defined together, they have a special meaning to me, and those words are justice, mercy, and grace. And I can't remember when or where, but when I was younger, I was sitting in a class. We were discussing these three words, and somebody, and I've heard it since then before too, but somebody offered this definition for each of these. Injustice is when you get what you deserve. And mercy is when you do not get what you deserve. And grace is when you get what you do not deserve. And I wanted to discuss those three words as it pertains to the atonement, the sacrifice of our Savior that He gave for each and every one of us, and for all of mankind. And I'm going to read from the book of Alma, chapter 19. And this is where Alma gives some instruction to one of his sons on the atonement. I'm going to begin in verse 90. And this, he's explaining the atonement and how it works after recognizing that man has fallen. And so in verse 90, he says, "Therefore, as the soul could never die, and the fall had brought upon all mankind a spiritual death as well as a temporal, that is, they were cut off from the presence of the Lord, therefore it was expedient that mankind should be reclaimed from this spiritual death." And he describes our nature. "Therefore, as they had been carnal, sensual, and devilish by nature, this probationary state became a state for them to prepare it. It became a preparatory state." In verse 92, "And now remember, my son, if it were not for the plan of redemption, laying it aside, as soon as they were dead, their souls were miserable, being cut off from the presence of the Lord." In verse 93, "And now there was no means to reclaim men from this fallen state, which man had brought upon himself because of his own disobedience." And you all are aware of what he is saying here. We know that God is a just God. He's a merciful God. And he's offered his amazing grace to each and every one of us. And I like how Alma explains how this is accomplished. So in verse 94, "Therefore, according to justice, the plan of redemption could not be brought about, only on conditions of repentance of men in this probationary state, yea, this preparatory state. For except it were for these conditions, mercy could not take effect, except it should destroy the work of justice. So there's the conflict. He says in verse 95, now the work of justice could not be destroyed. If so, God would cease to be God. And we're here this morning to remember and recognize the plan of redemption and what God had laid out from the beginning. That would resolve this conflict. So in verse 96, he says, and thus we see that all mankind were fallen, and they were in the grasp of justice, yea, the justice of God, which consigned them forever to be cut off from his presence. And this is where Alma explains quite well. And now the plan of mercy could not be brought about, except an atonement should be made. Therefore, God himself atoneth for the sins of the world. To bring about the plan of mercy, to appease the demands of justice, that God might be a perfect, just God, and a merciful God also. So in the next few moments, we will have the opportunity to partake in the Lord's Supper. We'll witness the emblems being prepared. We'll hear the blessing offered upon the bread and upon the wine. And we all receive and be reminded of God's amazing grace. And I wanted to discuss shortly, I thought who better than to explain and talk about the importance of this than Christ himself. So I'm going to read from the third book of Nephi in chapter 8. This is when Christ is visiting the Nephites. And he's giving them this commandment, which we will be answering even this morning. And so in 3 Nephi chapter 8, I'm going to begin in verse 30. This is Christ teaching those that were gathered about and giving them this commandment. And he said, and when his disciples had come with bread and wine, he took of the bread and brake and blessed it. And he gave unto the disciples and commanded that they should eat. And when they had eaten, they were filled. He commanded they should give unto the multitude. And down verse 33, and this shall you always observe to do, even as I have done, even as I have broken bread and blessed it and gave it unto you. And this shall ye do in remembrance of my body, which I have shown unto you. And it shall be a testimony unto the Father that ye always remember me. And here's his promise. And if ye do always remember me, ye shall have my spirit to be with you. In verse 37, and it came to pass that when he had said these words, he commanded his disciples that they should take of the wine of the cup and drink of it, and that they should also give unto the multitude that they might drink of it. And it came to pass that they did so, and did drink of it, and were filled. And they gave unto the multitude, and they did drink, and they were filled. And when the disciples had done this, Jesus said unto them, blessed are ye for this thing which ye have done, for this is fulfilling my commandments, and this doth witness unto the Father, that ye are willing to do that which I have commanded thee. And this shall you always do unto those who repent and are baptized in my name. And ye shall do it in remembrance of my blood, which I have shed for you, that ye may witness unto the Father that ye do always remember him. And and again, here's that promise that he offers each of us. And if you do always remember me, you shall have my spirit to be with you. And here's why we're here this morning. In verse 42, and I give unto you a commandment that you shall do these things. So that's why we're here. That's what we'll be doing here in a few moments. And it's a simple request. He's asked us to do it so we will remember him. Remember his sacrifice for each of us. Remember how his body was broken. His blood was spilled. And he did that for us. It was necessary and he did it. And he just asks us that we remember that. Remember him. We will keep his commandments. And in turn, he will give us his Holy Spirit.
As the emblems are being prepared, would you turn in your hymn to hymn number 275 and remain seated according to thy gracious word.
You made you man with me. Father, we ask thee in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this bread in the souls of all those who partake of it, that they may eat in remembrance of the body of thy Son, and witness unto thee, O God, the eternal Father, that they are willing to take upon them the name of thy Son, and always remember him and keep the commandments which he has given them, that they may always have his Spirit to be with them. Amen.
Thank you. wine with any of us here. Oh God, the Eternal Father, we ask in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this wine to the soul of all of those who drink of it, and that they may do it in remembrance of the blood of thy Son, which has been shed for them, and they may witness unto thee, O God, the Eternal Father, that they do always remember him, and that we may have his Spirit to be with them. Amen.
Thank you.
Did anyone miss their portion of the bread or the wine?
Let us pray. O God, our eternal Father, we come to Thee now with special needs and a need for Thy blessing. And I would ask, O Lord, that You would touch us with Thy Spirit, that the Spirit in abundance will bring us to the needs we need and bring us to understanding of Thee and the sacrifice that Thy Son has made for our sins. Bring Thy Holy Spirit down with us now and teach us, O Lord. Teach us and bless us. Guide us in all the things that we should do, for we have great needs, even in this congregation. And we need Thy Spirit in abundance to bring us to an understanding of what we should do. Guide us, O Lord, in righteous paths, for it is in these paths that we can show our love to Thee. For we do truly love Thee, O Lord. And I would ask that that love be magnified to those around us, even within the congregation, that any problems that we have might be solved by the love and fellowship we share. Forgive us, O Lord. Forgive us for the many things we fail to do. We have so many shortcomings, the sins of our lives. And we're not always thoughtful of the direction that we should go. And so we need Thy Spirit to be with us, not only here today in the congregation, as we remember the sacrifice Thy Son has made for us, for our sins. In that abundance, may we enjoy the love with thee, and the love with one another. Bring us the power that comes from thee to do the things that we must. The things that you would want us to do. And let thy Holy Spirit dwell with this now, even at this moment. And as we go from this congregation, from this meeting today, let thy Spirit go with all of us. That individually we need thy power, and we need thy blessing, and we need thy understanding, that our minds and our hearts may be keyed to thee. And let that power, let that blessing, let that presence go to our homes, that our homes may be filled with the love we share with thee, and that our love one for another, even in the homes, man and wife, parents and children, relatives that come visit, let that power be magnified, that all will know that we follow thee. We talk of bringing about Zion. And yet in our mundane life, we have such meager power to do that. And so we would ask that you will be with us and magnify us and bring to us the ability that we can accomplish that task. For we do it in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, and for the building of thy kingdom. Amen.
I'd like to start off this morning by reading a scripture to kind of focus our thoughts. And it comes from the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. And I will be reading verses 3 through 6. And it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved." I am ecstatic that Alan asked me to preach today, because today happens to be Orphan Sunday. And it's a topic that's obviously near and dear to my heart. Now, I want you to remember that I know the 70 get a bad rap about being long-winded, but today, if we go over, it's not necessarily my fault. I've only got 2 minutes. But I do promise I will not preach for 70 minutes, so you don't have to worry about that either. Now, I want us to think about the word orphan, and what does it mean? I know many times when we think of the word, we think of people that don't necessarily have parents. But there are many definitions of the word. A couple of them is one that lacks support, supervision, or care. Another one is someone without protection or position. You know, also it talks about in the dictionary, you know, somebody that's outcast or something that's outcast. You know, those types of things. Now, I want us to think about all these different things when we think about orphans. And to start off with, I'd like for us to think about ourselves. In our current position and before, you know, in many of our lives, we've been in situations and we've ourselves been orphans. Spiritually, we have been without protection or without position. We've lacked support sometimes. You know, each one of us can think about in our lives those times where Yeah, we fit those descriptions. We were orphans. But through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and remembering what that covenant that we did today, we have the opportunity to be joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And we know that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of the Father. He's the only begotten Son of the Father. But each one of us have the opportunity to be adopted into that family and to be joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Each one of us has the opportunity to receive that position, to receive the inheritance of the kingdom of God, and to be adopted. In the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 14, it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together." You know, God has reached out and he's extended that hand of mercy to each one of us. And we can be adopted into the family of God and be heirs of the kingdom of God. But it's our responsibility to accept that. And it's our responsibility, you know, even as it says here, to be led by the Spirit. And even as we said in the covenant prayer, in the prayers, the busting of the emblems, that we remember him and keep his commandments. And so that's our responsibility as well. And then, of course, from the book of Psalms 68:5 says, "A father of the fatherless and a judge of the widow is God in his holy habitation. God setteth the solidarity in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in dry lands." I want us to think about the world around us and the day in which we live. And I want us to think back to the times of the Romans. Now, in those times, when a baby was born, what they would do is they would take that baby and they would take it to the feet of the father. And the father had a decision to make. If, you know, that was a baby that he wanted to accept into his family, he would pick up that baby. And at that point, that baby was part of the family. But if the baby was weak or had a defect, or sometimes if it was a girl and he didn't want a girl, he wanted a son, he would not pick up that baby. And that baby was taken outside the walls of the city and was left to the elements and to the wild animals. Well, the early Christians, what they would do is they would go out and they would collect all those babies and they would adopt them amongst themselves. And they brought about change. Because not only did they go out there and they adopt those babies, but they petitioned their governors and their leaders. And they brought about change in the entire kingdom to make that practice illegal. Now, when I was in college, I had to take a literature class. And most of the literature that I read, I hated. But one of the pieces that we read that was amazing was Martin Luther King's letter from the Birmingham jail. If you haven't read it, I would encourage each of you to read it. It's a really good piece. But in there, he talks about something that I really love. He mentions that Christians in his time were like thermometers. They would follow the society around them. And he encouraged each of them to be thermostats, to not follow the society around them, but to control the society around us. And I know many times when we think of our church, we know that we may only number in the thousands. We're a small amount of people. How can we bring about change? Well, that bread that we ate this morning was leavened with just a little bit of yeast. And with that little bit of yeast, the whole bread was changed. It was made a consistency that we could eat it and enjoy it. And it can be the same with each one of us. Even though it seems like we're a few people, our responsibility is to be the thermostat to society. Our responsibility is not to, you know, go up and down and be like the thermometer and just flow with society. Our responsibility is to control the temperature. And I know our church as a whole does a good job with, when we talk about, you know, orphans and adoption, and we sponsor several different orphanages around the world. You know, we do a decent job of adopting. But my challenge to you today is, even though we do a good job, maybe it's time that we kick up the thermostat a little bit more and add a little bit more heat to that. I'd like to read just a few stats for you guys about things going on in the world. Some of you may be overwhelmed by some of the stats because some of them are really staggering. Did you know that right now there are approximately 143 million orphans throughout the world? Roughly, that's half of the population of the United States. So half of the population of the United States throughout the world are orphans. There are approximately 47.5 million orphans and vulnerable children in the sub-Saharan Africa. There are approximately 5.9 million orphans in the Middle East and North Africa. There are approximately 37.4 million orphans in South Asia and 30.1 million orphans in East Asia and the Pacific, and 9.4 million orphans in Latin America and the Caribbean. Right now, there are almost as many orphans in just the country of Ethiopia as there are residents in New York City. Now, you know, those are kind of some of the numbers in the world. Now, what does it look like domestically? Did you know that there are over 800,000 children that pass through the foster care system every single year? And there are about 500,000 children in the foster care system right now, of which 129,000 of them can be adopted. There are about 25,000 children each year that age out of the foster system. And there are about 5,400 alone in South Carolina that are in the foster system. Now, with those numbers, how many children are actually adopted each year in the United States? There are between 118 and 127,000 children adopted every year since 1987. So somewhere in that number. So this is definitely a situation where, you know, we see 118 to 127,000 adoptions transpiring when there are millions and millions and millions of orphans throughout the world. And then, of course, we see that more than one-third of Americans have seriously considered adoption, but only about 2% actually do it. And so, you know, I want us to think about it. And I want us to think about, you know, not just adoption and stuff like that, but I want us to look around us and to think about those people that we see around us that are orphans. When I say orphans, I don't mean people that don't necessarily have parents, but I mean people that are downtrodden. People that don't have a place or position. People that are needing support, supervision, and care. And I want us to think about how we can reach out to those people. How we can minister to those people. Because those are the people that need to be adopted into the body of Christ. Probably each one of us around us, when we think about that category of people, we can think of many people around us. And many people in those situations. And those are the people that need to know the love and the support of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. And so my challenge to each one of us is to look at those around us and think, where can we bring ministry? Is my ministry to, you know, this group of people here, this group of people over there? Or is my ministry to, you know, help with an orphanage or to adopt or whatever your ministry might be? Or is my ministry to, you know, be a lobbyist and to, you know, lobby our leaders to make adoption easier or whatever it might be? But I want each one of us to think, how can I be that thermostat? And how can I increase the temperature just a little bit more? That these people can also know about the kingdom of God. I'd like to close and leave us with a scripture that comes from the book of James, chapter 1, paragraph 27, or verse 27. And it's a scripture that is familiar to a lot of us. And it says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widow in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the vices of the world.
It's been a joy to be here today. The Spirit's been strong, and I would thank my brothers for their service this day and for the messages that have been brought. And it's been a special joy to be a part of Melissa and Samantha's First Communion. And I would challenge each one of us to not forget them, but to keep them in our prayers as they grow and become young ladies and continue their service with their Heavenly Father. In closing, would you turn in your hymns to hymn number 90, Oh for a Thousand Tongues to Sing.
Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for this time that Thou hast given unto us, and for the ministry that has been given this day. We do ask that Thou would go with each and every one of us as we continue to do those things which would be pleasing unto Thee, and strive to better ourselves and to treat those around us with the compassion and the love that Thou would have for them. that we may stand up for thee in all things that we do. And that we may be able to journey safely to our homes. And that we might represent thee in all things that we do as we go to our jobs and in our homes. For we do thank thee for thy Son. We do thank thee that he died for our sins, that we might have a chance to be able to repent and to be able to come unto thee and to have thee in our lives. For we do love thee, Lord, and we do praise thee. In thy Son's most holy name, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Thank you.